It's been a wild week. Not just for me, I assume, although I have been in a meds-induced semi-coma because I got a viral infection that gave me an ulcer the size of my thumb on the back of my throat. Didn't even know that that could happen, but I've basically been unable to talk. And so, yes, I'm sorry to everybody who messaged saying, where was Monday's episode? We probably should have said something on Monday, but I was beside myself with illness. And also in this terrible kind of like waterlocked, or at least absent of water area of Johannesburg, these 25 suburbs, which hasn't had water, and Jesse's been sick. So it's been a mare. It's been an absolute nightmare. But yeah, it's been a wild week for me. I'm glad to be able to actually be able to talk enough to get this episode out on this Thursday, although maybe slightly lower energy than usual. But we need to talk about two political parties that have seemingly lost their minds. And I genuinely never thought I would find the Democratic Alliance and Umkhonto we Sizwe, the party, agreeing or like pushing the same narrative in different, to be clear, very different ways. One of them silly, the other one just scary and unacceptable. But we're going to talk today about how those two political parties in the last week have just undermined South Africa's democracy, undermined and caused doubt and thrown suspicion over the Independent Electoral Commission and the vital work that they do to deliver us free and fair elections. Let's do this because this really matters. This is The Issue with Dan Korder, because we all know that South Africa is a movie. Welcome to the watch party. South Africa is wild and overwhelming, and on this show we explain, analyze, and understand the biggest news stories and issues facing this country every single week. Two episodes of The Issue come out every single week on podcast and also in video form on YouTube, and we also release weekly exclusive episodes of interviews and analysis on Patreon. Go find us there. Lastly, if you're new here and enjoy the episode, it would be so wonderful if you clicked subscribe or follow. It makes a huge difference as we develop the show going forward. Right, let's get into it. Okay, let's start with the silly. Let's start with the Democratic Alliance, who right now are just having a bad moment. Is it just me? Like, it's confusing. Like, they just seem own goal after own goal after own goal. It's like they currently have the mental faculties of an ostrich and the charisma of 6-day-old pup. But even for them, a political party which has fewer wins than Kaiser Chiefs at the moment. Up the Bucks. Congratulations, Pirates. Soweto Derby winners again. And still the only true Soweto Giants with that African Championship win star on our badges. Up the Bucks always. Anyway, I've been waiting to say that since the weekend, okay? And I didn't have a voice. Now you've heard it. If you're a Chiefs fan, you chose this life. Okay, back to the blue people. Even for the Democratic Alliance, who's going through a particularly messy moment, what they did a few days ago, it put my jaw on the floor because it just felt so silly, so self-harming and deranged. They released a letter which they had sent to the United States government, a whole United States of America government, addressed to Secretary of State Antony Blinken, where they basically begged the United States to get involved in our elections. Begged them. Their essential argument was that this is the first time possibly that the ANC will fall below 50%, and thus the ANC might try to meddle with, interfere with, and influence the elections in an illegal way by compromising the Independent Electoral Commission. Here's the thing, though. They said that with absolutely no evidence to back up that wild fear, that wild paranoia. And as of this taping, 14 March 2024, there is no evidence that the IEC has been compromised or tampered with in any way. It's ludicrous because the IEC is actually respected around the world because they have done impeccable work since the advent of democracy in South Africa in 1994, pulling off one after another free and fair election, often with international observers around having a look at what is being done. But the DA decided that this would be the moment where they would send this letter to the US begging the United States of America to come watch. And it's lunatic behavior, isn't it? Because the United States are a shambles when it comes to democracy. Still, This is the United States of the January 6th riots a couple of years ago, a whole insurrection that they couldn't handle and still haven't been able to properly process. This is the United States of America, which still hasn't been able to put its former president on charges of inciting an insurrection. This is the United States of America that over the last 10 years has had multiple credible accusations, court trials, and charges of voter suppression by different members of their government against different people, particularly black people, particularly poorer people. That's the United States that we're supposed to turn to as the beacon, the shining beacon of democracy. That's the United States the Democratic Alliance wants to pull over to show them our election for their approval. This is the United States, by the way, which has more than a few times has decided who is going to win elections in other countries besides their own. These are not the people who we want to have around right now. Thank you very much. But that's the thing. We don't need anybody around. We don't need Russia with that sham democracy. We don't need China that doesn't afford its citizens any power, really, in politics. We don't need any of them because the IEC has a flawless track record and there is no evidence that this time they're getting it wrong or they're under threat. Now, of course, if evidence comes to light, then the conversation changes, but evidence hasn't come to light so far. And only a few, like a couple of crazed conspiracy theorists on the internet are living in their Delulu world, where Delulu is really not the Sululu, trying to belt out and convince us that the IEC has been compromised, but again, without evidence. And the fact that a whole Democratic Alliance, the leader of the opposition, thought, you know what, despite everything I've just said about America, despite everything I've just said about there being no evidence that there's any threat to the IEC in this election, they thought, you know what South Africa would love? If we went and embarrassed South Africa on the world stage by going to the foremost superpower in the world and saying, there's problems in our democracy, our previously flawless, perfectly run democracy. And then they even told us that they did it. Like, were they trying to appeal to these few fringe conspiracy theorists? What were they trying to achieve? Because they've just pissed off the vast majority of South Africa and once again made us embarrassed that the DA is from our country. Like, Delulu is really not the Sululu when it comes to the IEC. And then the DA wheeled out a couple of their leaders to try and fix the situation, like Emma Powell.
Did you write this letter because you do not have confidence in the IEC processes?
Absolutely not. And I've done so many interviews over the past few days because the inference that's been deliberately drawn here is that the DA is essentially saying that we don't have confidence in the IEC. We have full confidence at a structural level in the Independent Electoral Commission.
Emma Powell went on a media round and she was trying to convince us that no, the DA is not casting aspersions on our democratic system, even though that's exactly what they did. It's exactly what they did. They sent an alarmist letter and to the United States of America, published it broadly for everybody to read. They exactly cast aspersions on the IEC. That's exactly what they did. So doubt in people's minds without evidence. But Emma Powell toes the party line and she says, no, we didn't besmirch South Africa's democracy's reputation at all. No, you've got it all wrong. There are always international observers. It's best practice. You know, we did the perfectly normal thing. Well, Democratic Alliance, in this moment through Emma Powell, if this is the normal thing to do, then why did you publicly go and pick me, be a pick me political party, publicly by your choice, begging the US to come here? If it's so normal, if it's not a big deal, if actually you've got no legitimate concerns about the IEC. Secondly, the audacity of this situation. There are certain countries in the world who we just leave to their own devices. I don't see anybody going to try and monitor America's next election, even though they literally nearly had an insurrection. And many polls are saying that the guy who tried to incite that insurrection is going to win this election. So no, DA Emma Powell, once you saw how the winds were blowing and how ludicrous you looked and embarrassing you looked to South Africa, you don't get to say, oh, you know, this is actually a nothing thing. No, it's not. It was a something thing where you were casting aspersions on our political system and then you were even proud about it to share it as a PR win. And then when it went wrong, you tried to say it was nothing. You don't get to walk back like that. We don't allow that here. And it's funny because I almost feel like the joke's on me at this stage because I keep being surprised by these political parties, all of them, not just the DA, doing silly things that are not going to make them more electable, more liked, more popular. And I keep going, maybe I should stop being surprised, because I don't know who's at the wheel, but they are not sober. Or at the very least, they've not got their reading glasses on. Like, just with the DA, this is the same party who just a few weeks ago debuted their massive new slogan for the election. And John Steenhuisen stood up and he'd learned just a little bit of Xhosa and he'd worked really hard to try and pronounce it correctly, even though that he can barely pronounce English very well, let alone when he tries to speak Afrikaans or any other language. And he stood in front of his big crowd and the DA was going to launch the election campaign and he said,
Tabula Inyanga! Tabula Inyanga! Tabula Inyanga!
Tabula Inyanga! Tabula! Tabula Inyanga! He said it over and over again. Tabula Inyanga! Now, for you who maybe don't know what Tabula Inyanga means, well, in Xhosa, it could mean shoot for the moon. It could mean a kind of like moonshot, the way they've been kind of trying to sell the moonshot pact and charter and trying to beat the ANC. But in isiZulu, the most spoken home language in South Africa, it means shoot the traditional healers. Oh yeah. It means shoot the traditional healers. Now, do you know how incompetent your higher leadership has to be for that to become your slogan? Maybe you Google translated quick, and then you did not do the due diligence of checking with people who speak every dominant language in South Africa. What does this mean in your language? At no point did they get some Zulu speakers in the room, or if they were Zulu speakers, they kept quiet because they were like, this is going to be a funny joke for the country. At no point did they check that their massive new slogan wouldn't sound insane. This is like out of a Veep episode or worse. It is just, and then Tabula, Tabula, Tabula Inyanga. Like, what? So that's the silly and just Democratic Alliance. I don't know how they're going to do in this election, but let's just say if they flatline a bit, I'm not going to be geskokkend. Like, which is a word I have invented, the Afrikaans word for shook. It doesn't exist, but I'm feeling pretty geskokkend right now, and I need to breathe. Okay, that's the silliness of the DA that has definitely cast doubt on our electoral process. Whether they want to try and walk it back or not, we see them walking, and they haven't walked far enough. So now let's talk about the scary, because Umkhonto we Sizwe, through one of their leaders, Visvan Reddy, said, yo, this should be a warning sign. This is how it starts. This is how, like, and I'm not saying it's going to go down a bad path, but I am saying that when people look back in history, when crazy things happen in history, they can often go a little bit before that crazy event and go, oh, there were signs. There were signs. And this, if something insane happens, is one of those blatantly obvious signs. And I'm going to play you the clip just so you can hear it yourself. But Visvan Reddy at an MK rally shouted to wild applause and affirmation. He shouted,
hear me very carefully. Yes. This country will be turned into civil war. Yeah. The day that MK is not allowed to campaign and to be on the ballot paper. No one will vote.
We are sending a loud and clear message that if these courts, which are sometimes captured, if they stop MK, there will be anarchy in this country. There will be riots like you've never seen in this country. There'll be no election. No South African will go to the polls if MK is not on the ballot paper.
That if MK is not on the ballot in this election, that there will be a civil war, no one will vote. There will be no election and there will be riots. To wide applause and affirmation. Now, that is genuinely insane and there should be consequences, because those words, we will incite a civil war. I'm not a lawyer, but that sounds like a threat to the state. Don't know if it's treason. It sounds pretty damn unacceptable as a threat. We will make sure no elections happen, no one will vote. So he's just threatened. There will be no democracy. There will be no democratic process. There will be no elections. We will stop South Africa if MK is not on the ballot. And then he said the R word, because in KwaZulu-Natal, it is an R word. He said riots. Now, just quickly, what's the backstory to this? MK is going to court in a few days' time over a few matters. Firstly, the ANC is taking it to court because the ANC has accused MK of stealing their logo, because obviously Mkhonto weSizwe was the armed wing of the ANC throughout the struggle and beyond, and the ANC says it's their property to own intellectually. Secondly, the ANC just wants MK struck off the ballot altogether for not registering properly. And there seems to be some evidence or some suggestion that the Mkhonto weSizwe party bungled their registration process. We're not sure about it yet, but it certainly caused panic. Enough panic that the IEC is investigating. There is now a court date set, and MK is shouting about this at rallies, like a lot. So to be clear, the courts are just doing their jobs, hearing a case, and the IEC is just doing its job, investigating. But MK's response has been, if you do your jobs and find that we're in the wrong, and for whatever reason can't campaign on Beyond the Ballot, civil war. Civil war. And we cannot take that lightly. Specifically because Fist Fun Ready used the R word. He used the word riots. And we know that that is a real word in KwaZulu-Natal. Because it's been less than 3 years since those devastating riots in July 2021 that happened just after Jacob Zuma was detained. Immediately, violence and destruction across the province and even beyond the province in some places. Hundreds of people were killed. Thousands of businesses were affected. Many people were driven from their homes out of fear. It caused terrible damage to the social fabric of KwaZulu-Natal. Think about the vitriol and the hatred and the awful words between white people and black people, poor people and rich people, Indian people and black people. It was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. But since then, yeah, some foot soldiers have gone on trial and maybe they'll see a little bit of justice. But everybody has confirmed, even Ramaphosa said, that this must have been planned. That it was so coordinated in the initial stages, so many things happened almost instantly, that it must have been arranged. And sure, many people took advantage because there was an opportunity created by the chaos of the moment to loot. And sure, they weren't all directed by some shadowy, unidentified higher-ups. But the initial creation of that riot was calculated and was pulled off successfully. And in the last about 2.5 years, the state, South African government, its police force, its security service, has been unable or unwilling, uninterested in bringing those top organizers to justice, to make them face the might of the law, to arrest them, to put them on trial. And whether they're unable or unwilling to do so, not interested in doing so, equally terrifying. And that's why the threat looms over KZN and strikes fear into the hearts of so many. Because it was never directly connected to Zuma, but it's a hell of a coincidence if it had nothing to do with him. And now it's just hanging. There were truck burnings a few months ago in KwaZulu-Natal on the roads there, and people immediately said, is this the start? Is this a warning sign that if something doesn't change with whatever the mess was in that moment, there'll be riots and uprisings again? There will be violence and destruction and death. And so when Fist Fun Ready of Jacob Zuma's MK party says there will be riots and civil war and no election and no one voting, if the IEC and the courts do their job, he is literally threatening the state and our democratic process and our legal system. And that should be treated with the severity that it deserves. Because whether it's an idle threat or not, the implication is very real and very terrifying. Because we know what happens in KZN and we know that it has not been rooted out and dealt with. And so again, I don't know what laws may have been broken or what legal recourse can happen or what the state can do. But this time they need to do something. We're in this mess because they didn't do anything last time. Whether they tried or not is not up to me to tell you because I don't know. They pinky swore that they did, but it's all gone mysteriously away with no kind of, you know, criminal masterminds at the top causing this vicious and terrible and awful fall apart in KZN. And so the state, I mean, I don't know if they will, but we need to do something. We need to collectively as a society, I genuinely don't know how to change the incentives of the Mkhonto weSizwe party. No one has ever really been successful at changing Jacob Zuma's incentives, except maybe the Guptas. Oh yeah. But this is really serious and we need to watch it, because it cannot be that we are living in a democratic system, one person, one vote, power in the hands of the people. It cannot be that we are doing that. But then when one or two people have despot tendencies and threaten the very fabric and order of our society and our democratic system and our legal system, that we are genuinely fearful of what might happen. So that's the scary, told you about the silly. Both parties, in very different ways, and to be clear, MK way worse than the DA, have fundamentally undermined the IEC this week and our democratic process. They just have. They absolutely have. They've both tried to walk it back. They have not walked successfully. We can see what's going on. Our eyes are open. And then back to the silly, the MK party came out and denounced the DA for approaching America with their stupid letter. They came out and accused the DA of treason, of treasonous behavior, for begging the United States to come and observe and get involved in our elections, whatever the DA exactly wants. Now, whatever you feel about that, the irony, because I would say the way more serious and democracy and IEC threatening action was by MK through FISFIN Ready this week. And I don't think anybody would disagree with me. Honestly, I just don't believe that. They've tried to imply that there's a deep state evil machine that is trying to thwart MK, and that this is a matter of justice and it's a matter of the future of the country and maybe even life or death if you're talking about civil war. And then they have the audacity to turn and say, oh, no, but the DA's stupid letter, that's treason. Silly season has truly arrived in our elections, but it's also scary season if you're in KwaZulu-Natal. Watch that story. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, my voice made it, and hopefully I will be fit and able to record again a 2-episode-a-week regime. Regime? What are we, Star Wars? No, not regime. You know, like release pattern, whatever. Hopefully we'll be able to get back as a show to 2 episodes a week from next week, starting on Monday and then Thursday again. Thank you so much for listening. As always, give us a follow and a like wherever you are. It really helps the show. Go check out our Patreon, and all of our public episodes are up on YouTube. Have a beautiful weekend. I'm gonna go rest my voice.